trusting that he's working everything for my good. He walks beside me, and heaven is in my view. I'm gonna make it. Terry, he already said it, and if he said it, it's got to come to pass. He will have a bride at this end time. I believe we're part of it. No, we ain't all of it, but aren't you glad to be part of it? Shake somebody's hand, greet him in the name of the Lord. Tell him this right here. I'm glad to be part of it. Play some more of that, guys. Thank you. Amen. Well, old Booger Man will howl and huff and puff. He can do that all he wants to. He can say what he wants to. He has already lost. He is already finished. Aren't you glad to be on the winning team? Aren't you glad to be part of God's economy? Whatever he chose to do in the world today, you've got to be part of it. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer request tonight. So glad to see Brother Sam Clark back in service with us tonight. Brother Sam, God bless you, buddy. So glad to see Brother Jeffrey Nunley back in service with us tonight. Brother Jeffrey, God bless you, buddy. Praise the Lord. It's just so good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Amen. I want to pray for Brother Danny Therese, home with flu-like symptoms tonight. So let's certainly remember him tonight as we pray. Brother Jackie Benton, he's at Indian Path tonight. He's been treated for blood clots. We'll move to Health South Rehab tomorrow, the Lord willing. So we certainly want to hold Brother Jackie in our hearts and our thoughts and that family, that the Lord would just be mindful of them. Brother Michael Hara has a fever, unable to be in the service tonight, so we want to remember that prayer request tonight as we pray. Deanna Mize says to please pray for my daughter who has become so depressed and has had to be put in the hospital for treatment, so she's asking that we would remember her daughter in prayer. Brother Moyer got a call this morning. Brother Jim is back in the hospital in Dayton. One kidney is working. He picked up a flesh-eating disease at the VA hospital on very strong antibiotics. Prayers are appreciated. Also, he got a call from his dad. He's been admitted to the hospital. His legs are hurting, and the doctor thinks that he has blood clots. They're running tests on him. And also, he has an unspoken prayer request that he would like for this group to pray about. So we'll commit those needs unto the Lord. Brother Skip Walker, sick with flu-like symptoms. I want to pray for Sister Linda Lawrence, not feeling well, unable to be in the service. I want to remember Jamie Hughes in prayer. He had emergency surgery on Saturday night. He's still in the intensive care unit, so let's pray for that need. Brother Keith Yance has an unspoken prayer request he'd like for you to pray about. Sister Donna Pistole says she has an unspoken prayer request she'd like for you to pray about. We'll remember Sister Laura Krauss' mother, who has had a heart attack and possible kidney failure. So we certainly want to remember those needs tonight. Sister Patty Nunley says to please pray for Lois Hutto, who is in the Quillen Rehab with a broken shoulder and hip. She asked for prayer, so we certainly want to pray for that need tonight. Brother Greg Robbins, sick in body, unable to be in the service. I want to pray for little Emma Parker, running a fever, has flu symptoms, so let's remember that need tonight as we pray. And then many of you probably already know, and maybe some of you don't, but Sister Martha Sacker's sister, Judy, passed away, I believe maybe yesterday, maybe the day before, I'm not exactly sure, but she did pass away. So certainly want to pray for Sister Martha and all that family, that the Lord, Sister Judy's husband, that the Lord would just be mindful of those folks in this time. Also, Sister Nan Cromer, her service tomorrow night, visitation will be from 6 to 7 here at the church, and then there'll be a service at 7 o'clock for Sister Nan Cromer. Certainly want to pray for all that family, that the Lord would be mindful of them. Also, the Kennedy family, let's continue to remember them as they have lost a member of their family. Brother Kennedy passed away, so that's Brother Eugene's father. Yes, that's Brother Eugene's. What was his name, Brother? Bill Kennedy. We want to remember that family in prayer, that the Lord would just be mindful of those folks. Well, we've got a lot to ask the Lord about tonight. We've got a lot to thank him for. We certainly want to just be thankful, and we certainly want to just commit all these needs unto the Lord, that God would just be mindful of all the needs that we have. Brother Kenneth Yance, he'll be checking in the hospital tomorrow sometime for knee replacement surgery. So we certainly want to pray for Brother Kenneth, that the Lord would just be with him during that surgery. We know he's more than able. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Do you believe God's able?
Yes, sir.
Do you believe God's really able?
Yes, sir.
Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, let's stand to our feet tonight. Let's sing that little chorus one more time just before we pray tonight. I have confidence in our Father that He is going to safely see us to the other side. Do you believe that with all your heart? He didn't say it'd be smooth sailing, but He did say there'd be a safe landing. Are you glad about it tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give Him one more hand clap of praise tonight. Yes, I'm gonna make it. He's already said I would. I'll keep right on trusting. He's working everything for my good.
He walks beside me.
Hallelujah.
And heaven is in my view.
Oh, I'm gonna
make it through.
Brother West, come tonight. Take us to the Lord. Let's invite His presence into this service. And ask Him to have His divine will. All these requests. We love you, buddy. We appreciate you.
Let's bow our heads. Father, to our human eyes and experience, Lord, we go through what we think are a lot of hard times and trials and sicknesses and tests of our faith, Lord God. But, you know, the devil can throw all these things at us, but you know, as the song says, we're going to make it through, but we're not just going to make it through. We're going to come through victoriously. You know, what Your word proclaims, we can believe with all of our heart. We have testimonies here tonight of brothers that were healed and that are back in the service, Lord. I praise Your name for that and thank You. I know that's the answer to prayer, Lord, because we were praying very hard for these people that are sick, Lord. But for those that have gone and met their appointment, Lord, we ask for mercy and for tenderness and kindness to the families, Lord, for Your sweet spirit to just move in and comfort their hearts, Father. Such a hard time, Lord. And especially at the holidays, Father, we just ask that you let Your presence be known to them and that You just come in and warm them up, Lord, and fill them, Lord, with only the kind of joy that only You can bring in a time of sorrow, Father. Lord, You can dry tears and wipe them away now. We don't have to wait till the millennium for that to happen. We know that You can do it here. I know. I've experienced it myself. Lord, for you know, there's so many requests here tonight, so many sicknesses, so many things that have come against Your people, Lord. And like the song also says, we know that we can trust You. We know with all of our heart we can trust You, that Your word is true, that it cannot be bent, it cannot be broken, it cannot be changed. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can count on You. We can put our faith in You. We can put everything we've got, we can put it all down, Lord, and right at Your feet. And we know that You're going to see us through. We know that we can trust You. We know that You're working all things for our good, Lord God. We know even when we come through the hard times, You're always there leading us, guiding us, to pick us up, to strengthen us. Lord God, we know that we can come to a place like this and listen to You speak to us through a man, Father. It's such a precious time. We want to exalt You, Lord, and lift up Your name. We want to thank You for everything You've done, everything You're going to do. Lord, we want to thank You that Your time is at hand, that You're coming, Lord, for us pretty soon. We want to thank You for everything that's happening within the kingdom, Lord, and that we want to thank You for the additions You've been making to the kingdom. And we want to thank You for the wisdom You've been giving us and the revelation You've been giving us and the pure gospel, Lord. We want to thank You so much for it. Lord, we just want to thank You. And we want to ask for Your blessing over this service tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here tonight in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming this service, we pray the service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's sing a song, brothers. I believe it's on the screen. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. That's pretty fast, isn't it? That's pretty fast. But I'm fastly waiting to get out of here. How about you? Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
God is so good to us. Let us be in His house again tonight to worship Him in spirit and in truth. How many of you appreciate the weekend services? The Lord just come on the scene and spoke to us. We certainly appreciate what God has done, is doing, and is going to do for the saints here at Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is to be shoulder to shoulder with folks like you. It's a privilege, isn't it? Are you glad you're part of it? Amen. Let's see if we can sing this song tonight. It's real easy. I believe we can do it. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when He calls His bride away. Yes, I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye.
He's calling, get on board, and the destination's heaven, safe on the crystal shore. We'll meet again, the Savior, and our loved ones who've gone on, there to live for all eternity. Oh yes, I'm going home.
Yes, we're going
home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when He calls His bride away. The captain of the vessel,
hallelujah,
He's calling,
yes, he is.
Get on board. Shore, where we'll meet again, the Savior,
hallelujah,
and our loved ones who've gone on.
Thank you, Father.
There to live for all eternity. Oh yes, we're going home.
I'm going home with Jesus
in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, or I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when He calls His bride away. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, or I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when He calls His bride away.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They said Brother Joel Brown's in the service tonight. Is that right, Brother Joel? Where are you at? There he is. We tried to sing your song Sunday morning. I'm sorry. Nobody can sing "I'm going up yonder" like this guy right here. Let's help him sing it. But before we do that, before you sing, Brother Joel, let's do a little bit of joy to the world. The Lord has come. Are you glad He has come? In the form of the word of the hour, He has come. He is here. Are you glad about it? Let's sing a little bit of it if you will. You don't know? Okay. Let's just try it there. Raise it a little bit. Raise it just a speck. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven. Just before we have Brother Joel sing this song, let me make a couple of announcements. The Christmas cards from Brother Donnie, Sister Carol, and the family, they're available for you to pick up in the library tonight. So please go by and do that if you would. Pick those up. And the church directories, do we have any more, Brother Jim? Are they just about all gone? Got some more. If you didn't get a new church directory, they are available in the library. One per family. Let's help Brother Joel. We appreciate this guy. Sing it, buddy.
If you want to know where I'm going, where I'm going soon, if anybody asks you where I'm going, where I'm going, oh, one day soon, tell them for me, I'm going up yonder, I'm going up yonder, I'm going up yonder. That life brings, I have comfort in knowing I'm gonna take wings and fly away by my world. As God gives me grace, I believe this, I'm gonna run this Christian race. till I see my Savior, till I see Him face to face. I'm going in the rapture. I'm going in the rapture. I'm going in the rapture to be with my Lord. I can take the pain,
that old slew foot,
the heartache that life brings. There's comfort in knowing I'm gonna soon fly away. As God gives me grace, I know I've got to stay in this race, because I see my Savior with my own eyes. Hallelujah! I'm going up yonder. I'm gonna be changed. My cells rearranged. I'm going in the rapture to be with my Lord. I'm going in the rapture.
Hallelujah.
I'm going in the I'm going up yonder to be.
How blessed we are for that to be our confession. And God will make our bodies obey our confession. Amen. Let's turn tonight to Numbers chapter 25, verse 10. Numbers chapter 25, verse 10. We want to pick up again tonight on Phinehas, the son of Eleazar. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God. You think God honors that? God honors people that will stand for him. Now think of this. This is going to stand. This one man doing this one event will benefit his family for 950 years. Don't you tell me that what you and I do can't affect our children and our grandchildren and on and on. 950 years of this lineage was affected by one man. And he's the only one who did this. Every other person, grandson, great-grandson, great-great-great-great-great, nobody else done what he done. They reaped the benefits of what he done. Well, let me tell you something. That's wonderful. But let me tell you something greater. My Lord Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. He's the only one that done it and the only one that had to. And yet all of us are still benefits of it over 2,000 years. Hallelujah. He shall have it and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your grace to us tonight, Father. We ask, Lord, that you would take your word tonight, and may we be benefited, fathers. We've assembled together again to have our midweek service. How thankful we are, Lord, to be able to have church on Wednesday night. I know there's churches in different parts of the world, Lord, for whatever reason, not able to have a midweek service. And Lord, I'm so grateful that we can have it. Lord, it just means so much to us. I pray that you'd speak to us tonight. May we learn by these examples which have been, Father. Give us strength and courage. I pray that you'd minister to the needs of your people tonight. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. The Jews actually reckon 12 high priests of the race of Phinehas. And read this with me. From this time to the days of Solomon, 9 more from the time to the captivity, from that time to the captivity, and 15 from their return to the time of Antiochus Epiphanes. Ezra, the great priest and scribe, also came from this lineage. Ithamar, the uncle of Phinehas, had the priesthood for about 150 years, but was restored to the family of Phinehas in the person of Zadok, the priest, in which it continued the whole of 950 years. Even the Maccabee brothers come from this lineage. Now, it was something that God recognized about the desire and the zeal of this man. It so touched the heart of God when his people was in such dire need. Now, here was Moses, the prophet. Here was Levites. Here was singers and porters and all kinds of different people that had different positions in the body. What was it that moved upon this man? I just simply believe it, no doubt as you do, that it was Christ himself that moved upon this man and anointed him to stand up for the people of God in the time of trouble. And because of that, as God gave him that ability and he acted upon that impulse of faith, and it was Christ, the anointing, that moved upon him, then God rewarded him for following and obeying that which God gave him the power to do. That's one thing I so love about the Lord, is that the Lord empowers his people to do something which he has ordained them to do, and then he turned right around and blesses them for what he called them to do. He blesses them for what he gave them the endowment of power to fulfill, and he blesses them for doing it. Now, that's my daddy I'm talking about. He is so mindful of his children. Now, notice God says in verse 13, and he shall have it and his seed after him, the covenant of an everlasting priesthood. Now, remember, everlasting is not eternal. So everlasting was a span of time. And of course, he lost this during the time of Eli, but it was regained again under the administration of Zadok. Then it comes down through the time of Solomon, and it goes on down to the very exterminating of the priesthood, actually, whenever the Romans destroy the temple. But this was given to this man because of one act of obedience. And on our thing, as we think of each one of us, our Lord Jesus, the stand that he did for us, none of us could take that stand. The stand that Paul took, none of us could take that stand. The stand that Brother Branham did, none of us could take that stand, and we're not even called to. But if we will take our stand under the divine order of God, the same way these priests, now many of them, we don't even know their name. We don't even know what they did in their day. But yet what Phinehas done was so renowned in the eyes of God, they reaped for generation after generation after generation because of the stand of this one man. None of them had to take a javelin and kill
kill somebody else. None of them had to stand up and run into the court and do what he done, but they did have to take their stand and loyalty for the promise of God. And know that the same will be with us. Most of us will never be great, renowned people. Most of us will never take the stand that Paul and Zadok and Phinehas and many of those did, but we reap the benefits of what our Lord Jesus done, and we live a simple, godly life before the power of God, and we're keeping up the very same standard of what the Lord Jesus done when he raised from the dead. Now, because of not his clothes, not because he talked a certain way, not because, well, he combed his hair a certain way, or man, I'll tell you, that guy had the most beautiful voice. But what stood out to God that made this so renowned was his zeal for the presence of God. He looks and he sees Israel is fixing to be an island. Now, remember the time he carries this out, 23,000 people dying this plague, plus the 1,000 which have been killed by the elders, 24,000 people lose their lives. But this man is so moved by this inspiration. Thank God for people that stand up. We realize most of us are not called to be great, outstanding type of people. And God knows exactly how many of these type of people to put in a generation and to put in a church and to put in a message. But I thank God myself for every one of those who like that. Don't you? I'm not that type of a person, as most of you all are not. I'm not a great, renowned type of an individual, just a simple sort of a guy. But you know what? I'll never stand in the way of those who are. I thank God for those who just not, you know, they're just just let things come and go, but they stand for what they feel like. Thank God for it. And we may not be that type of a people, but thank God we can rally around those who can. Some folks, if they don't do it, you know what? They're not going to stand behind the person they can. I thank God I'm not that narrow-minded. I may not be that caliber of individual, but I'm sure glad I got those type on my side. Praise the Lord. I may not be a great, renowned type of a person, and I'm certainly not a theologian. Come to think of it, I'm not really sure what I'm good for, but I'm glad that there's some folks on our side that sure know how to stand up for the truth. I'm glad if I can't say nothing but, amen, brother, preach it, I'm going to scream it with all of my heart. Oh, hallelujah. Notice in verse 13, and he shall have it, and his seed after him. Now, notice the expansion of this blessing. I don't know why God so moves in this direction that something would so implore the heart of God, that God would expand this. Now, given to this man alone would have been a renowned thing, but it was so profound to the heart of God that God expanded this blessing for a period of over 950 years. For one thing, now this consistency, of course, carried right on over because they're fixing to vex the Midianites, and this man is fixing to be called a leader among them. So even though this one thing was what brought him to this state of renown, once his place of renown is capitalized, then the Spirit of God seems to pole vault him to a position to where now he's really recognizing his full potential. And this is what brings it out in him. And it's like God begins to anoint him, and wherever he becomes anointed, then the fullness of what he was called to do comes into more clear view. May God grant that to be so to us. Notice he said, because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Now remember, as we looked at it last week, he did not offer a lamb, a turtle dove, a pigeon, no incense was offered. But the atonement that was made was because he took the javelin and killed the sinners, the two pronounced sinners that had run into the camp. And by doing that, he takes their lives, and God actually allows that to be counted as an atonement. Now watch in verse 14 how God anoints Moses to be able to write this. Now, the name of the Israelite that was slain, even that was slain with the Midianite woman, was Zimri. Now, isn't it amazing? I can't fully say that I understand why that in some instances God would allow people's personal names to be recorded. Now, we know there's all kinds of instances in the Bible that a certain man done so-and-so, and a certain prophet done so-and-so, or even sometimes the Bible would say a seer done so-and-so, and there would be people who done evil and their names would not be mentioned. And then there would be other times that God would move upon the anointed of that day, and they would make it even more profound that they would identify their name and their patronage and their inheritance all down through the ages of thousands of years, that the history would be written. God wanted their name to be infamous. It would be absolutely absolutely infamous, even though it would be on the side of wickedness. Now, this man is going to be one of them type of instances. The name of the Israelite that was slain, even slain with the Midianite woman, was Zimri, the son of Salu, a prince of the chief house among the Simeonites. Now, I want you to notice now, his name is mentioned, his father's name is mentioned, and his tribal descendancy is also mentioned. Now, God could have said, well, there's a certain man over in a certain place, and we're not going to say his name, because we really don't want him to be embarrassed, or we don't want his family to be embarrassed, or his tribe to be embarrassed, but for whatever reason, God wanted this mentioned. Now, you understand, preaching of the word comes exactly the same way in the day we're living. Sometimes God will leave the word in such generalities that people don't really know who it's going to. But there's other times he makes it so plain, you'd have to be as blind as a jackrabbit to not know what he's saying. And that's just the way God does it sometimes. Now, people don't mind it when it's left in darkness and vague. But you know what? God sometimes wants you to call names. And the church said, don't worry, I ain't got nobody's name written out here tonight other than what's in the Bible, so don't get scared. Now watch. So Zimri, the son of Salu, a prince. Now watch his position. Watch his position. This is not somebody that just picks up paper on the outside of the camp. This is not somebody among the children of Israel that nobody knows. But this is a man of position. This is a man that is going to have recognition. Remember what tribe he belongs to. He belongs to the tribe of Simeon. His name is mentioned now to bring reproach, to greater enhance the reproach of his unbelief. But it will also magnify the office of what Phinehas has done. Now watch this in verse 15. And the name of the Midianitish woman that was slain was Cozbi. Now watch, he mentions his name and he mentions her name. The daughter of Zur. And he was a head over a people. Now watch this tactic of the devil. If he can get big name people in the message, if he can get big name people that have value and importance and sway, if he can get them off the word and get them among the people, then they say, well, so-and-so's doing it and so-and-so's doing it. You know, I hear that as a pastor. Well, how come we can't? Well, so-and-so, they go to the church and they do it. And so-and-so, well, the deacon's daughter and the trustees, this and other. You're not going to stand with the deacon's daughter. You're going to stand before God yourself. I don't want to be like the deacon's daughter, the preacher's daughter. I want to be what God wants me to be by the word, and that should be what you want. It'd be, well, so-and-so does it, and they get by with it. No, nobody that sinned gets by with it. Now notice, this man was a great leader, and this daughter was also from a great descendancy on the other side. And both of them come right in the camp with their sin. You imagine that devil, how sly he was. Oh my. But you know what? Phinehas proved right there, a real man of God don't make no difference whether you're this big or this big. Sin is sin and wrong is wrong. Now to me, this is what makes me admire Phinehas even more, as far as this man coming from this tribe of descendancy to where he'd be greatly renowned. And this woman was greatly renowned. But the way he looked at it, God was more greatly renowned than anybody else there. Praise the Lord. God give us more men like Phinehas. Oh my. Now actually, this man, her father, was one of the five kings of Midian. She's a princess, a queen to be. And you mean to tell me this preacher took a javelin and ran through her and him together and killed them both? And God looked at it and said, I'm so proud of you, I'm going to give you the priesthood for 950 years. That must be the way God looks at it. One of the five kings of Midian, which we'll look at it later, is mentioned in Numbers chapter 31, verse 8. The name of the Midianitish woman that was slain was Cozbi, the daughter of Zur. He was the head over a people and of a chief house in Midian. So now he is a king. And you're this man is of the chief, one of the chief tribes of Simeon. So these great people feeling like, my, they can bring their sin right in the message and they can do this. And who's going to say anything about it? Well, why them little old priests, they couldn't even do nothing if it wasn't for us. We're the one who pays their electric bill and we pay their water bill, and they can't live without us. That's where you're wrong. A real man of God, he could live if you don't give him one nickel of your tithes. If he stands for the truth, God will stand for him. Come on now, children. Oh, Brother Donnie, we pay you. Well, quit paying me if you want to, and God will send me quail and send me frying eggs out of heaven or frying pancakes or whatever he's got to do. If I stand for him, he'll stand for me. That's exactly right. If God could be able to feed Elijah out there and feed him a sandwich, God could cause a crow to go through McDonald's drive-through and drop mine and Carol's breakfast on the front door if he wanted to. And when I got tired of McDonald's, he'd switch him over to Burger King and let me have Burger King for a morning. Because I'm convinced if we stand for him, he will stand for us. I don't want 950 years to be in my priesthood. I'm after the order of Melchizedek. It will never end. Hallelujah. This priesthood we're a part of will never stop. Hallelujah. Now I want you to notice how that God now changes. We come from identifying these two people. Notice in verse 16. And the Lord spake unto Moses saying, vex the Midianites. I thought God was a God of love. You mean to tell me God is telling this prophet to vex people? I understand that feeling. I've been called to vex folks. Every preacher that's a preacher is, unless of course he carries around diapers and pacifiers and bottles and that sort of thing, suckers and hands them out to everybody. I still preach hell. I said I still preach hell, and I still preach these people going to it. Now watch, vex the Midianites. Why not the Moabites? Balak was king of Moab, not Midian. Why vex the Midianites? Now we know God is just. And if God is telling him to particularly focus on the Midianites, the Midianite daughters must have had a prevalent position in this act of adultery and selling themselves to be used as bait to the devil. Now God is going to anoint Moses, and actually they in time will annihilate the Midianites. Praise the Lord. They will annihilate the Midianites. But they can't annihilate the Moabites right yet. Because there's a seed that's got to come out of Moab. Hallelujah! There's got to be a seed come out of Moab. It's going to be several hundred years down the road. But Ruth has got to come out of Moab. So you can't destroy the Moabites until Ruth comes out of there. Hallelujah. My mama, my daddy, your family should have been destroyed maybe generations ago. But God couldn't allow them to be destroyed until I come out of there. Until you come out of there. Name wrote on the book of life, he could not annihilate Moab. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Vex the Midianites and smite them. Friends, can't you understand why preachers are anointed to blast denominations and blast sin and blast people that do wrong and blast people that try to butcher up this message? Don't you understand? It's the same God. It's the same God that said, vex them. Get them. Oh, some of you will sit there. You won't say amen. But God says, get him, boy. Seek him. Seek him. Seek him. Get him, Fritz. Get him. Now watch in verse 18. For they vex you. With what? Their wiles. Not wars. Not cannons, not spears, not swords. Their wives. This is one of the greatest enemies you and I ever face. An enemy with a sword, a spear, a shield, a helmet, a grimacing look, very mean. Oh, my violent. Well, yes, sir. Boy, that's my enemy. That's my enemy. But many times the wiles. Remember what the scripture said in the New Testament about the wiles of the devil? For they vex you with their wiles, which is cunning strategies. They have vexed you with their cunning strategy. And how did they do it? They dressed up their women, and they were no doubt very attractive. And they dressed them up to where they were very, very sexy. What was it? A wile. It was a wile of the devil, and they vexed the children of Israel. If they had come to them with swords and spears and all that sort of thing, they'd have stood up and slayed them right and left. But since they used wiles, they winked at them instead of slaying them. Notice he said they vex you with their wiles. They have beguiled you in the matter of Peor and in the matter of Cozby. Uh-oh. Now you got God calling this woman's name. As he said in the book of Revelation, I've got some against that old Jezebel. Praise the Lord. Remember? Why? Because what was she doing? Whenever he told that church age, he said, you hate that doctrine, the Nicolaitans. And he said, I hate it too. Oh, that's where I want to be. I want to love what God loves and hate what God hates. I want to like what God likes and dislike what God dislikes. I want to be in such harmony with him. Me and him both like the same flavor pie. I want to be in such harmony with him. Me and him both like exactly the same view on religion. Come on, children. I want to look at it the same way. I'd sure hate to know that God loves this and I hate that. I'd hate to know that I love that and God hates it, wouldn't you? I want to be exactly the same way he is. Oh my, in the matter of Cozby, the daughter of a prince of Midian, their sister, which was slain in the day of the plague for Peor's sake. My, my. What were they? Tempters to iniquity. Tempters to iniquity to pull the children of Israel in. Now remember, this is exact same spirit of organization. It is spiritual adultery and fornication. And it's not just out yonder. We got in our own ranks. Every man that pulls away, try to make a following after himself. Well, we're the only ones got it. We're the only ones got a spirit of organization. This message is riddled with it. Instead of open war, they plotted cunningly their wiles and their strategy. For they vex you with their wiles, wherewith they have beguiled you. And the matter of Peor, they have beguiled you. What was it that Eve, the first woman, said about the serpent? He beguiled me. Now watch, in chapter 26, we'll skip that, but just to highlight a little bit for you. Chapter 26, now they're going to number the people. Now remember, when they come to the time to where that they're going to cross over, and God brings them up to Kadesh Barnea, and the unbelievers go out among them and say, well, you know what, we can't do this, and we can't take the land. God allowed them to be numbered. Now, once they do that, then God said, I'm going to allow you 40 years to walk around this wilderness. One day, 1 year per day, it'll be equal to that. All these old heads are going to die out. Now, listen to me carefully. This is only a couple of months now at the end of the 40th year. It's right before the Exodus coming out, going in two. It's right before the death of Moses. It's right before the going into the land under the new administration of Joshua. It's all heading up so fast. And there's got to be one more thing to happen. And that was the old heads, the last bunch of that generation had to die. And how did they die? They died under the administration of Baal Peor. The last ones to die are dying in this last phase of unbelief before the crossing over. Don't you understand where we are? Don't you understand he's among us and he's going through gleaning with a fan in his hand and he's separating the wheat from the chaff and the last ones to die before we cross over. It's happening right among us, saints. When? Oh, this is just months before the end of the 40th year. Oh, I wonder how close we are to the change. Oh, God, help us. Now, watch what they did. They're going to be numbered now. Also in chapter 27, they go into the laws of inheritance. Five women come to Moses and begin to ask for the inheritance. But let's look in verse 12. Numbers chapter 27, verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, get thee up into this Mount Abarim and see the land which I have given to the children of Israel. Now, this is a range of mountains, of course, by which Moses has had many visitations in the land of Canaan. Nebo is on this mountain and many different mountain peaks where he's had different experiences with God. But it is a range, sort of like your life. So there'd be a Nebo, and then there'd be a valley, and then there might be another valley, and then there'd be another mountain peak where he met God, and there'd be another valley and another valley. But it is a range on the borderland, sort of like your life is, that you run into Mount Nebo. And then you run up to Sinai, and then you have all these mountaintops experiences, and many of these mountains are a range that goes right to where they are. So is the same way of your life. And now God is telling Moses, I want you to go up there, and I want this particular spot. It's going to be a mountain that you haven't been to quite before, and I want you to go up there and look over. And when you do, there's one more thing I want you to do before you cross over. You're talking about faithful to God. This man knows he's not going. This man knows he can't see it. But he's faithful right to the last day of his life. Instead of pouting and feeling sorry for himself, why should I even fight? There ain't no need for me to fight. Why should I? I can't go over no how. But he had this attitude, bless God, I failed him before. I ain't going to fail him now. I'm going to be faithful to the end if God will help me. Oh. And the Lord said unto Moses, get thee up into this Mount Abarim and see the land which I have given to the children of Israel. And when thou hast seen it, thou also shalt be gathered unto thy people. As Aaron thy brother was gathered. Now watch, he's permitted to look, but not allowed to live. How sad. Permitted to look, but not allowed to live in that land. For ye rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin. In the strife of the congregation to sanctify me at the water before their eyes. This is the water of Meribah and Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin. Now here's God's prophet. There is no higher in the economy of God than God's prophet. And because he had not sanctified the Lord, but stood up and smote the rock twice, said, you bunch of rebels, shall I bring this water? And God said, because you've done that, you and Aaron's not going over. Aaron had already died. Amen. But before the children can go into their inheritance, the prophet himself must pass off the scene. And there'll be a little short span of time from the time the prophet leaves until the children come in with a new strength. All the old heads, glory, all the old heads. It's amazing when you go to number in the children of Israel. And when you look back 40 years prior to this, about 600,000 fighting men. 40 years later when they're all dead and all the old heads have died, what do you come up with? Almost 600,000 identical again. Now you've got a new generation, a new indwelling of the presence of God with a new zeal, a new desire, a new determination. And it ain't hardly no time after the prophet is gone the way you'd measure God in God's increments of time that they're fixing now to cross over. And they don't have to have Moses to stand out there with a rod drawn over the sea. They don't have to have one man standing out there, but they've got a man by the name of Joshua, led by the Holy Ghost. He don't talk to God quite like Moses did. God don't move for him quite like he did for Moses, but God is among the body. And they recognize that is the Joshua administration that'll take them to their inheritance. The days of one man scriptures are fulfilled. Praise God. Oh, how. You know, it must have been so heartbreaking for Moses knowing that he had rebelled against God. I want to ask you, could you, after God had told you this prior to this, years before, could you have been faithful? If God had told you, you're not going in there, I'm telling you. You're not going in, Terry. You missed it. You disobeyed me. You're not going in. Could you have fought with still the same zeal and the same determination? I realize, friends, a lot of folks don't love God. They don't love God. If they really love God, some folks want to say, well, if I know I'm the bride, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to serve him, even if I ain't bride. I don't deserve to be bride, no how. My goodness, where do we get this mentality? Well, bless God, I'm the best. I deserve the best. I'm not the best, and I don't deserve the best. If I get the best, it's truly the grace of God. If he's Almighty, if he uses me all of my life, and then whenever at the end of the way, I live outside the city. I'm the farthest one out. I'm the one who holds the flag way out in eternity. My house is the last house, 387 million miles, 927 from on the other side. Donnie is the outward border. I'll be the noisiest corner on the new earth. I'll be screaming and hollering, shouting, glory! I made it! Glory! I made it! But if I'm allowed to live in that city, I hope you loud, like loud neighbors. Because if I shout that loud on the outside, I'm going to have a time if I live in that city. Hallelujah! Well, if I ain't bride, I don't think I'll serve him. I'm going to serve him if he let me live for him all my entire life. And if he don't let me go on the rapture, I'm still going to serve him. Oh, I'm going to love him. I don't deserve any of it anyhow. If you think you're a deserver, there's something wrong with your attitude. Now look at him. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation. Duh. He's just been told he's fixing to die. He's just been told he's not going to be able to allow to go over. Because these people got him aggravated and mad. And who's he concerned about? The people. Here's a real servant of God. Now, if I didn't, some of us would run over and sit down in our little stool on the side of the corner. Poor little me. I've lived for God all these years. I've given up so much. Pale mouths, drinking. That was just good for your health. That's just common sense to quit smoking. Praise the Lord. I quit running around with all these women. That's just common sense for your health. Don't act like you've done a great thing to giving up smoking. The doctor tell you to do that and ain't got another been saved. But Moses, you go, I'll do you one thing. So that's what you do. That's the way you treat a man. I live for you all these years. I beg you for your people. I cry out for your people to come right to the end of it. What do? But instead he turns around and said, Lord, you're the God of the spirits of all men. I'm concerned about them. Yes, sir. I know you're going to take me because you done told me. But would you hunt for a man? Glory. Oh my, oh Lord. Twice God had offered to destroy them and make a new generation out of Moses. And Moses refused the offer. Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation. So I didn't think about him. And Moses went to and said, I've got two boys here now, Lord. What do you think? What do you think about my two boys? You reckon one of them or both of them? Now, couldn't this be a family thing now, God? Notice his intention, his prayer. He doesn't pray for God to pick a certain man. He doesn't pray for God to go through a certain line. but he wants God to choose it according to his divine omnipotence and his ability to look into the spirits of all men. Brother, you couldn't ask for a better choice than that. Oh my. He didn't want, Lord, what about this religion? What about this man? He said, no, God, I want you to do what you do best. I want you to look deep down inside of their hearts, and I want you to find a man that you know will be a real shepherd over these people. Oh, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man. Isn't that amazing? Now he didn't choose a tape recorder. Or a reader. Somebody just stand up and read what the Ten Commandments said. Praise the Lord. Now notice what Moses specifies. Set a man over the congregation. Now this is why you need a man in our tape recorder, because tape recorder, of course, ain't got no feet. Which may go out before them. See, a tape recorder can't do that. Which may go in before them. Now this is a real leader. Moses is saying, they're going to fight wars, Lord. And they need a man that'll go out. And they need one that's got enough sense to lead them back in. It's one thing to go out, brother. Don't just lead me out into battle, but take me back to the house. Praise the Lord. Oh my, what a leader that can lead you right out in the middle of hell, right out in the middle of war, and bring you right back safely because he's led of the Holy Ghost. Hey, man. God set a man over your people, he says. Which may go out before them, which may go in before them, which may lead them out, and which may bring them in. Hear this man. Of all people, he's been so misunderstood. He's been so criticized, even by his own people. Been accused of being selfish. Accused of trying to be a ruler over the people of God right to the very end. Now you see, this is the real Moses. That little deal with the water up there, that wasn't a real Moses. This is the real man right here. Well, hang tight with me now. Some of you Baptists will shout with me on this point. But your mistakes ain't the real you know how. This is the real you right here. This one right here who leads to the end. It was not the mistakes that Moses made that was the crowning crescendo of his life. It was the integrity, the honesty, the character. This is why God chose him in the first place. The mistake at the wilderness up there in the water. Yes, it was a bad mistake. It was punishable for sure. But that wasn't the real Moses. When are you ever going to realize the real you is that person that hungers and thirsts after God and that cries bitterly when you make a mistake? That person that makes the mistake ain't you. Hallelujah! That person that gets weak and feels like giving up, that ain't you. This is the real you. The real you is that persistent you. This is the real Moses. He's only got a few more weeks of life. 10 days to 15 days now. That's all that's left of his life. Anybody that knows you're fixing to go, you want to allot your time properly, would you not? So he spends part of his sacred breath that's left, part of his time that's inching away, begging God for a leader among the people. Glory. Notice what he said, which may bring them in. That the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. He knew the tendency of people how they'd act without a shepherd. Glory. Verse 18. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua. The Joshua of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New. The same pronunciation in the Greek. Take unto thee Joshua, the son of Nun. A man in whom is the Spirit. God had already searched out him. God done his database search of the book of life and looked at all the men in that day. Amen. God had done through the Spirit searching and found a man that would not leave the children of Israel. Let me tell you something, children. We've got men in this message that are the same kind of caliber of men. And we've got men that's preachers around this message. The only reason they're preaching is for fame and fortune and popularity. They don't care about the sheep. Don't get quiet on me. They don't care about the sheep. They care about themselves. We got singers that's the same way. We got deacons that's the same way. It's all about them. In their position, but thank God we've got some people who are doing it not because of a position, not because of a salary or something. They're doing it because they are called of God in the database of humanity. When God searched them before the foundation of the world, God wrote their names in the Lamb's book of life. My name was wrote beside Jesus and wrote beside Brother Branham and wrote beside Paul and you and you and you to stand for this day. And I want to stand as long as I've got breath. I want to stand and be a shepherd that'll lead the folks out and lead them back in. I want to lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I want to lead you in the time of battle, but I want to lead you in the time of peace. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Glory to God.
Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit.
This is the kind of leaders we need today. Not intellectual giants. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I was with Brother Ben in my faith. Well, that's fine and good. That ain't what I'm wondering. I'm wondering if you got the Holy Ghost. A lot of men that's fishing with Brother Branham, they've been the very dogs that led us down the path that we've been down. They're the very ones that pulled off and went this way and that way and that way. How many of them that was with him stayed straight? Come on, don't get quiet on me. How many of them that their name was called and he laid hands on them and this, that, and other? That don't give them no superiority over the rest of us. It's not them that he called their name on tape. It's them that's got the Spirit of God in them. Now God said, I want you to take Joshua because he's got the Spirit. I've done searched the database. And I want you to lay your hand on him and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation and give him a charge. Give him a charge in their sight. Now listen carefully. The way we're going about this now shows a dispensational change. You don't find Moses stepping before the priest. Now we're moving to a dispensational change. It's lesser, but greater. Now watch, Joshua is going to have to stand before the priest who has the Urim Thummim. There's no place recorded in Scripture where Moses ever sought counsel of God by the Urim Thummim. He was a prophet. He didn't need it. Whoa. Thank you, Lord. That's a good one. But notice, we're changing dispensations. The prophet's fixing to go off the scene, and a lesser is going to take his place. And the lesser is not the same caliber as Moses. You mean to tell me God is going to let a lesser lead him into the land? That's what I mean to tell you. So the greater anoints the lesser, and the lesser is going to lead them into what the greater said would come. Oh, hallelujah.
Glory to God. Oh my! Notice, set him before Eleazar the priest. Now here is Joshua standing before the priest, the ministry, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. Notice in verse 20, and thou shalt put some of thine armor upon him. You wish somehow you could get the message, folks, to understand it. And they hear Brother Branham talk about preachers and pastors and how we need them and all that. You wish you could get it through their thick goat head. That Brother Branham is doing exactly the same thing that Paul did to Timothy, Philemon, Titus. The same thing that Moses did to Joshua. He's putting some of his honor over on them. So the people would have confidence to know, hey, the prophet of God believed in preachers. I'm going to believe in preachers. The prophet of God took part of his honor and put part of his dignity. Notice God never told him to put his gift on him. You see, that's where some preachers mess up. They want Brother Branham's anointing. They want Brother Branham's gift. That's not what I want. I want the honor that God's given to me as a God-called man in a lesser role. I don't want to be a prophet. I barely handle the burdens of a pastor, much less a prophet. But I do know God has given to me as well as to every other God-called man the honor that comes shared with this revealed word, the Shekinah glory. Amen. Once again, I don't deserve it and I never asked for it, but it comes with the job. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him. Now, Moses, you can't give him this gift and that gift and that gift. I already give him that. But what I want you to do, I want you to stand up there with him, put your arm around and say, buddy, pal, we're comrades together, me and you. And I'm just one little rock among all you big rocks out there. Come on now. Oh yeah, we need a pastor. You folks have just got converted in this meeting. He said, now find yourself a home church and find yourself a pastor that'll lead you on, because you'll spiritually die without a home church. So what's he doing? That honor that now the prophet of God was used by God, throw the net out, bring them in. Now he said, find your home church or you'll spiritually die. What's it doing? The honor's being shared. Amen. Malachi 4 and Ephesians 4 share the same glory. The glory of Malachi 4 will bring much greater results than Ephesians 4, but it still fits in the same Bible. Now watch, thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him. And this is the reason that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. You see, if you come to church here and you sit here wondering, I'm not sure if I really even believe in preachers. I'm not sure if I even think really do we really need even need preachers? I ain't going to be able to help you very much. You might sit here for 40 years and you'll be very little that you'll ever get out, because you're not even sure if you even need a preacher or not. But if you're sure you need one, you'll get some. That's right. You see, Joshua was honored and qualified. Qualified by God, honored by the prophet. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of the Urim. So here is a man of lesser call, a man of lesser dignity, a man of lesser honor. Moses talked to God face to face, lip to ear. Didn't need the Urim, didn't need a priest. As a matter of fact, he washed the priests and gave them their position. But not so with Joshua. Now Joshua condescends beneath the prophet's perspective of what God calls him to be. But this is the Joshua administration. It is less. Now, are the miracles today that we see, signs, healings, wonders, things like that, are they as great as they were in the days of Brother Branham? No. Are there as many of them? No. Do you struggle sometimes to get healing in your body? Ain't y'all saved? Don't y'all believe God? Don't you have the Holy Ghost? Really? So what's wrong? Now, you remember, Brother Branham and I was talking about it yesterday, that whenever Brother Branham was here, that wasn't just happening on Brother Branham, it was happening on Jack Cole, Allen, many of those men as well. That anointing was on the earth. Listen to me. Your face in divine healing and in miracles and in the supernatural to be able to reach out and touch God and bring it to you when revival is not moving is greater than it was when revival was all over the earth. Now to you, you're looking and say, oh God, I'm struggling. But your faith is actually greater. Because in those days, you didn't even really have to even live right. Many of those folks didn't even live right. It's like there was an anointing that was on the earth. Brother Branham saw the descending of it himself in his own ministry. Talking about it in the 40s and the early 50s. He said when he'd walk in a place, people would just get up and take their wheelchairs and their crutches and push them out. But by the time he come to the end of his ministry, was it that way? It was not. The crowds had fallen. Many of the miracles had slowed down. They, even his own people, Brother Branham, why can't we pray and read our Bible? Why is that revival? He said, brother, sister, because revival has left the earth. If that was 1964, what about 2015? But yet, what are you doing? You're still praying. You're still reading your Bible. You're still going to church. You're saying God is a healer. God is a provider. God is a miracle worker. Are you? Do you see it by the masses of the thousands? No, you believe it because you're under the Joshua administration. You're being led by lesser to greater. Hallelujah to God. You're being led by men who don't have the caliber of ministry Brother Branham had and never will have. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And yet God has chosen to lead us in the consummation of the rapture with men of less quality, of less gifts than Malachi 4 had. And we struggle and struggle. We have our high blood pressure and we take one pill and we take another pill. Plus our herbs and our vitamins and our supplements and QU10s and QOZY, TYZY, all them sort of things. So just everything in the world try to find a little bit of relief. And yet if anybody asks you, you believe in healing? I do. You believe God is a God of miracles? I do. How long has it been since you've seen one? Well, it might have been a little while, but I still believe. I still believe. Why? Because you're under that hallelujah to God. You are being led to your inheritance under inferior ministries. Glory to God. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest. And Moses stood before whom? God alone. God wanted to talk to Moses. Said, hey, you got a few minutes? Sure. Come up here, buddy. I've been kind of lonesome today. I just want somebody to talk to. It ain't going to be that way, Joshua. Joshua, if you need an answer, you come through this way of order here. You can go out there all you want to. Go out there in Nebo. Go out there wherever you want to and think you don't need a preacher. But I'm telling you, you have to come back here to Urim Thummim. This is my way for you, Joshua. Because you're not Moses. Now you imagine if Joshua said, you expect me to take him in? You mean I don't get to be a prophet? My goodness, I got to speak to this guy? I don't get first-handed information, no face-to-face, lip-to-ear stuff? He was just so happy to be a part of it, he was beside himself. Now watch, he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him. As a matter of fact, if you want to get a real good glimpse of how Joshua got in trouble, it's when the Gibeonites dressed up in old clothes and got old sodden bread and old bottles and all that sort of thing. And they come in and tricked them to make a covenant with them. Joshua never went this provided way and went back to the Urim. Uh-oh. We've let a lot of Gibeonites slide underneath our church doors. Because we felt like, bless God, I'll tell you one thing. Bless God, I'll tell you one thing. We better do God's way. It's humbling. It's not as great. Oh, I know. Look, it's not as great. Well, you got to go back to the Word and you got to check everything with the Word. I feel led. Ooh. A lot of folks have divorced their wives and remarried another because they felt led. My, it's amazing what folks feel led to do. I'm not saying they're not failed, they're not led. I just question who led them. My daddy will never lead me contrary to this word. So here's the introduction to his ministry. You, sir, are inferior to your predecessor. I will not talk to you lip to ear. I will not give you a personal audience the way I did him. Do you have a problem with this? No, sir. And over there stands Caleb, his sidekick. No, sir. I'm a Gentile. I'm just happy to be in this thing. I'm a dog. I'm just glad to be a part of the move of God. He shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word shall they go out. You mean to tell me Joshua can't even go out and start a revival when he wants one? He's got to come through this preacher stuff? But you see, we're talking about a new generation now. And you imagine when God is having his prophet to speak this new generation terminology to them new generation people, they saying, amen. They have no problem with it. Why? Because they're now not looking for a man to stand out with his rod over the Red Sea. They've seen all of that. They're not now standing for one man to stand up. Don't you understand how so many of the folks in the message still are hung up in all that deal? Well, Brother Branham went off the scene, and then here was a Joshua, here was a Caleb. My Lord, how many Joshuas have we had around this message anyhow? And one dies off. Look at the end. Look what becomes of everyone that messes. But you know what? There's something in people they're still looking for. You know why? They've missed the anointed Messiah Christ among them. They're looking for a Messiah. They find it in Trinidad. They find it in California. They find it over in Europe somewhere. I'll tell you where you can find him. You can find him in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We don't need no man to stand out here today. Everybody come and follow me. That's not the administration we're under. We're under, hallelujah, the bride coming to her position under inferior ministries. Listen, friends, it don't take much. All you got to do is listen to a few of these guys. When they go to projecting themselves, they're greater than Brother Branham, you know, right there. Wrong day. Wrong day. Joshua, I'm going to tell you, I'm greater than Brother Branham was. Hallelujah. Brother Branham was talking about me. What, when he said Balaam? What, when he said false prophets and all men's end times? He's talking about you then? Brother Branham was introducing me, was he? Come on, children. Preacher brothers, it shouldn't bother us that we have an inferior ministry. A lesser ministry, it shows us where we are. At his word shall they go out. At his word shall they come in. Both he and all the children of Israel with him. Even all the congregation. Moses enjoyed the privilege of unrestricted access. But Joshua don't have that. Neither do I. Brother Bram said he never one time asked God for something that if God didn't give it to him, that he didn't tell him why. Well, I don't figure there's anybody here except for a liar that can say the same thing. I don't have that place with God. To me, that's why he told the Lord that time when that woman died, you owe me an understanding. It's because of the privilege, Brother Darrell, the access that he had with God was so close, he felt too close. Do you understand? Does that make sense? He felt so close to him, Brother Jim. Let's face it, we don't have that. Well, now some of you got quiet on me. We're lesser, being led by lessers. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Mama, he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of the Urim. You imagine Moses standing there before the priest. Oh, priest of God, seek God for me. And all hell's breaking loose. Moses could say, God, stop the wrath. And God just went, what? You said something. God said, I'm going to kill him. He said, no, you're not. Brother Mem said, I always wondered how Moses could give God a better idea than God had himself. And he said, I found out it was Christ in Moses. Moses was given the privilege of direct access into the presence of God. Watch verse 22. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. And he laid his hands upon him. He is such a proof of this, he double verifies what God tells him to do. God tells him to put a hand on him, but he goes ahead and puts both. And gave him a charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. Clear proof Moses is not an imposter. Clear proof Moses is not seeking a family inheritance. Joshua is not kin to Moses, only by spirit. Let me close with this. I'd rather be kin to Brother Branham by spirit than I would for him to be my daddy. Now, if he can be your daddy and you can be kin to him in the spirit too, that's wonderful, said and good. But if I have my choice, I'd rather be of the same spirit he was than be of the same DNA. The old generation gone. The last of them have just died. The dispensation is fixing to change. A new leader steps up to bring them to the promise of God given by Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. And God's going to lead them to the greater by a lesser. The promise has been made by justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, restoration of gifts, and the person of Christ himself coming in. And you're going to be led to the greater, the body change, by lessers. Put every preacher in this message all on one pile and put Brother Branham over here by himself. All of us existing true preachers couldn't compare all of us together to his wealth spiritually in God and his value and his gifts. So God takes all these little lesser guys and gifts them a little and gifts that one a little and gifts that one a little and throws them here and throws them there. He said, now, take my people on over. But you remember, you got to come right before this Urim this message. Before you go in, before you come out to preach, when you go back in, look at what you're saying and judge it by this word.
Praise God. Don't you love Him? Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. My. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, what an honor it is to be identified in this great truth. Lord, I'm so grateful that You've opened our hearts to this evening light. I am so thankful, Lord, that You have helped me to see as a preacher. Brother Branham was not building a platform for me. Brother Branham didn't go off the scene so he could introduce me or introduce some other preacher. I'm so glad, I am so glad that I can be satisfied with being a lesser. A lesser. Compare me to Him, there's no comparison. Visions, supernatural miracles, nothing. My greatest experience with You would be beneath kindergarten for Him. But yet, Lord, You call me. You love me. Look at these people here. Our experiences. They're great to us. But compared to His, they're hardly nothing. But yet You love us with all that heaven holds. Hallelujah. And we are the lessers. Hear this prophet come, preach the rapture, preached all these things, but was not allowed to go into it. He was not allowed. He wanted to be. He was not allowed to be standing here and his body be changed. But Your way was to lead him into the resurrection. But no doubt there's men standing in this building tonight, preachers, and preachers that are preaching the message, that'll be allowed to defeat death. Praise God. We will be allowed to obtain the greater, even though we are the lesser. Thank You, Lord. We pray and try to find Your will. Sometimes it seems so hard. We ask for miracles and healing. Lord, not for show, not for display, just to make ourselves better servants. Sometimes it seems so difficult. Yet, Lord, we still believe anyhow. Hallelujah. Because we're believing when all the odds are against us. Because revival, as far as national revival, is over. It's been gone for years and decades. Now the only revival left is bride revival. Which is not a global thing anyway, it's an individual. So we have our ups and our downs. And my, our experience is compared to His. What's it compared to? But yet, You chose to do it this way. Praise God. Thank You, Lord Jesus. I'm so glad to be a part of it, Lord. Thank You, Father. I know there's needs among us tonight, Lord. Dear God, I've lived in a time when I've seen miracles and signs and wonders, and we still see them. But we know, Lord, it takes a constant, persistent faith. Unlike that anointing that was on the earth, even when I was a young preacher in Pentecost. Lord, to see so many things happen, it seemed like it was so easy, even then in the 70s, early 80s, for the people to believe. Lord God, the miracles are less. The supernatural display seems like it's less. But we still believe it just the same. It means so much to us when You come among us and display it. Lord, we're not going to stand here at the Red Sea and everybody look on us as Moses did. His hair blowing in the winds as Charlton Heston did of the Ten Commandments. My, this is not a great Hollywood drama. But the Word's going to go forth. The ark. And when the priest's feet hit the water will roll back. Now it's not a man with a rod in his hand,
but it's the preparation of the gospel of peace. Glory. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I pray you'd minister to your people tonight. Lord, there's folks here among us that's sick in the body. Folks that have trouble in their homes, maybe on their job. Lord, I'm asking you tonight in the name of Jesus that you'd move for them, Lord. Father, you see Brother Benton had to go back, Lord, after being put into rehab place yesterday, rushed back to the emergency room last night. And Lord, they found a blood clot in his lung today. We're asking you, dear God, in the name of Jesus, that you'd move for our brother. Lord, there's several needs among us, and I'm just asking you, Lord, that you'd touch him. Brother Jim Babb, Lord, on his third round of antibiotics, Lord God, I pray for my brother tonight. Father, he ministers to so many day in and day out, week in and week out. Now, Lord, it's him standing in the need of prayer. I pray you'd go by our brother's way tonight, Father. Hallelujah. I know I'm a lesser man than the prophet. I'm a less gifted man, but you're still God nonetheless. So, Lord, lead us by the lesser to the greater, would you? Heavenly Father, we don't need a great man among us standing with his hair blowing in the wind, as it were, and his robe blowing in the wind of the Red Sea. We need the mighty conqueror, the Lord Jesus. Father, may you move among your children tonight, those that are discouraged. May the angels of the Lord come among us tonight and bring encouragement and healing and deliverance, dear God. We look to you, Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Maybe some of our family should have been cut off years ago because of the sin that they're in, so vile and so wretched. God, you couldn't let them be cut off because we had to be born. Oh, glory. Thank God eventually the Moabites were wiped out, but you couldn't wipe them out yet because little Ruth had to come on the scene. She had to be identification of that Gentile bride. Oh, Lord, we thank you tonight for your mercy, Lord. We thank you for your grace, Father. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. I am willing, Lord. I am willing to say I'm a lesser. I am willing to say I don't need to be another Moses. I don't need to be a Malachi 4, 5 and a half. I ain't looking to be a 4, 5 and 7/8 or a 4, 5 and 13/16. I just want to be a lesser. Let me be a lesser. Let me say what he said, Lord. Hallelujah. But let me preach and preach and preach until one day we walk right into a body change. Praise God. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You love him tonight, children. Our Phineas 2,000 years ago stood and paid the penalty. Praise God. So that we, after the order of Melchizedek, could stand here tonight. I don't have to strike death, and you don't either. I'm just reaping the benefits of what my high priest done. Praise be to God. He raised from the dead, and then he could say, fear not, I am he that was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. And the greater said to the lesser, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How could we imagine in our minds that you standing there, the greater, would ascend upon the Mount of Ascension and you'd tell the lesser, go and tarry in Jerusalem and to be endued with power from on high, and you shall be witnesses unto me, the greater left, so that the lesser could have the greater portion and carry on the greater work. And you said, greater than this shall you do. Why? Because the greater left and send back the greatest portion that the less could carry it out. I wonder how many times you passed by that man sitting in the temple gate, but you never healed him. You said, I want to leave him for my boys to take care of. Hallelujah. How many folks did you leave in Jerusalem and you walked right by because the greater was going to let the lesser take care of it? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we don't want no reward. We don't want no robe, no crown. That ain't what we're interested in. We just want to be faithful to you and see your face. But we know how you are. You're not owe any man anything what you've gone to prepare for us. Lord, I marvel at you. I marvel at you. Even the city that you've gone to prepare How many elements are in the universe that we know nothing about? Oh, we broke into a few of them. Gold and silver and tin and titanium and rhodium and so many different elements that we know. But how many is out there in the universe that we have absolutely no knowledge about at all? And you could have chosen those to make the future home. But instead, you chose elements that were from this earth. The gates of pearl, which is an earthly element. Streets of gold, an earthly element. Hallelujah, jasper. Oh my, all that we know about the city, created in heaven, but of earthly elements. Why? Your prophet said the divine God has went away to prepare a divine city for a divine Bolton attribute. And he said, you're making it just the way we like it. And then you titled it the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. So you didn't make it out of heavenly things, but you made it out of earthly things. Things that was in our home. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord. Can we just raise our hands? I know you got things to do tomorrow and all that, but oh my, I wouldn't feel right with just letting you go without getting him a little bit of love tonight, can we? Praise God. Look, maybe this answers some questions for you tonight. We're standing in the Word and we believe the Word, but why do we see less? Why do we see inferior? Because that's where we are. We're exactly in line, my friends. The less, the inferior are leading you in. Praise God. By the providence of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You love Him. With all your heart. Why don't you just tell Him? Praise the Lord. How many of y'all still believe in healing? Miracles. Supernatural God. Just keep believing Him. Brother Donnie, I've asked Him and nothing moved. You just keep praying. It takes more persistent faith now than it did 15 years ago. Than it did 20 years ago. More disease, more sickness, more difficulties. Spirit of revival ain't on the earth. But we still believe anyhow. Don't let me bother you now when I say this. I honestly don't need the spirit of revival on Laodicea for me to have faith to believe God for a miracle. I heard Brother Branham say today, if you're drinking out of an old cistern, you need the local rains in order to fill you up. But he said, if you're drinking from that artesian well, he said, if you don't have a rain for years, you still got fresh water on the inside. That's exactly right. That's where the bride's revival is. It's that water springing up inside of you. I don't need a revival of Laodicea. That's not my revival. My revival is John 7:37. If any man believe on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This is my revival. My revival ain't me in Happy Valley. Oh, Brother Donnie, the Happy Valley needs a revival. Really? I think as individuals we need the revival. Not so much, well, may everybody in Happy Valley get all stirred up. No, you and you and you, Brother Keith, and you sisters, and you, Brother Dave, and you, Carol, and you, Barbara, and you, Charity, you. That's where God wants the revival to be. It's not going to be a repeat of 1906. It ain't going to be a repeat of Pentecost, friend. God's not doing that. It's a lesser. It's lesser, and it can happen right among us. But because it's not world-renowned, the people will never know it. And it's leading to the greatest thing that'll ever happen to you after your new birth, and that is your body change. It's less than the 50s revival. It's less than the 60s revival. It's less, but it's leading to the greater. The minister, look at me compared to Oral Roberts. Compare me to A.A. Allen. Compare Brother Darrell to some of the men of that day. We don't even hold a light in one sense of the word. In another sense of the word, they couldn't hold us a light. Why? Because of what we are saying with a message. Brother Branham didn't leave us a university. Brother Branham didn't leave us a bridge or a college. He left us a message. Thanks be to God. We don't have the William Branham University. We don't have some great college somewhere, but he left us, amen, a message that would turn our hearts back to the faith of the fathers. Less than Oral Roberts, less than A.A. Allen, less but greater, less but greater. Thank you. Oh, praise God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, it wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Though the devil tempts me, turn me around. He's offered everything, all the wealth I want. If I could, still I wouldn't take. Come on, let's sing it now before we go. Everybody. Oh, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me, tries to turn me around. He's offered everything that's got a name. All the wealth I want, the worldly fame. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh, I started out traveling for the Lord many years ago. I've had a lot of heartaches, had a lot of fears and woes. When I would stumble, then I would humble down. There I would say I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Everybody, let's sing it as we go. Well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Oh, the devil tempts me, tries to turn me around, around. He's offered everything that's got a name. All the wealth I want. God bless you, saints. See you this weekend. Go in the fear of God. Amen. Oh, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make heaven somehow. Oh, the devil tempts me. Thank you.